Fine. Welcome to Oakwood today. I'm glad you're with us today. It is the first Sunday of the year, so it's Oakwood State of the Church address. It's where I get to come up and talk about where we've been, where we're going, and those kind of issues. And I'm just going to try not to pretend. I've not been feeling well. Christmas Eve, I got a cold, and it lasted for days, one of those terrible things that just wouldn't stop. And then we've learned that I cannot lay in bed for a couple of days because my back goes out. So I'm double whammy this morning, but I'm caffeined and going to get through this, and you'll get through it with me, okay? So state of the church, let's start with our prayer. We always pray this prayer, and you might not be thinking it's a message per se. We are going to open God's Word, but let's go ahead and ask God. Since there's something He wants you to hear that you're willing to listen, would you pray with me? Would you say that prayer? God, since there's something You want me to hear, I'm willing to listen. God, since there's something You want me to hear, I'm willing to listen. God, we do pray that You would be glorified, and that everyone here and everyone watching would be edified, and that Satan would be horrified. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Did we get anything yet? Am I not still up?
All right. We'll just share this. So all those poor people that have to come up and talk today have to share the mic with the guy who just said he had a cold. So I apologize for them and to them this morning. Let's just walk through a couple of things. And what a difference a year makes, you know? I mean, you're here today. Anybody feel like you're a survivor today? Anybody feel like, I did it, I am still here, yes. We should have started that. It's not a great worship song, but I'm a survivor. I think we get to certain parts of our lives where we're just like, wow, what a difference a year makes. I can honestly tell you, a year ago, I left this platform and I said, I will never walk back into Oakwood Community Church. I was devastated and tired, exhausted, hurt, and all the things that can ruin a church. And I'm thankful that I have a God who is gracious and restorative. And I'm thankful we have a church that recognizes things and issues, and we deal with them. And so what a difference a year makes. It wasn't until I got here this morning, was sitting, that I realized that's a year ago. A year ago, literally, I said amen, put my mic on the thing, walked out that aisle, and I thought it was done. But I'm thankful that I don't quit. I never quit. I've never quit. I won't quit. And God isn't finished with me yet. And He still has a plan for me, and He still has a plan for Oakwood. And so this morning, I just want to share with you guys, that God is good. Amen?
Oh, God.
And that we need to be faithful. We need to be faithful and steady. One of the things I want you to take home with you today is that Oakwood is not a church that's just going to look for the flashy next thing. When I was a youth pastor and I was working with Vision for Youth International, traveling and speaking to youth pastors, I warned them about ministry out of a box. What do I mean by that? You should all understand that, because you probably got a box or two this Christmas from Amazon, right? We're all looking for our box. Where's our box? Well, in ministry, the truth is that there are organizations, companies that put out boxes of things. It's called ministry in a box. You can buy something for a whole year, and that'll be your focus. And you go to conferences, and they'll sell you what's next and flashy and big. And I warn youth pastors not to get into that, because God's not into that. God's not into a package program that just is going to make everybody excited for a moment in time. Oakwood's not that kind of a church. So I do want to share with you this morning who we are and what we're about. And you're going to say, I thought that's what He said last year. And I think that's what He said the year before. And if I'm not wrong, I think He said this for 10 straight years in a row. It doesn't change. And so let me share with you who Oakwood is. We have a motto. Our church's motto, it's on the wall out there, and I use it as much as possible, but our motto is, we're growing a great family. grounded in faith, guided by grace, and going in love. That's Oakwood. It's on the wall right out there, and it comes from a heritage, a legacy of Pastor Bob. Bob was all about a family here at Oakwood. He established a family feel, and I wanted to make sure that we maintained that by being grounded in faith, guided by grace, going in love. So what's God's glocal mission? I didn't spell that wrong. It's I believe that God has a glocal, which is global and local, mashed into one word. And if you get a microphone someday in your own stage, you can use your own words. Glocal. It's God's glocal mission. And it's given by God. That's what I want to establish for you today. It's not given by Zondervan. It's not given to us by Orange curriculum. It's not given to us by deep discipleship. God has a glocal mission, and he gives it to us in his word. It's given by God. And it's found in two distinct passages. Number one, Matthew 22, 37 through 40. It's called the Great Commandment. It says this, Jesus replied, love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind. This is the first and greatest commandment. And the second is like it, love your neighbor as yourself. All the law and the prophets hang on these two commands. That's God's great command. Jesus repeated it. Jesus was asked, what is the most important thing? He was being tricked by some lawyer-type people who wanted him to get stumbled in front of an audience that had differing opinions, right? It's like our political world today. You're in a room full of Republicans and Democrats and who knows what, and somebody asks you a question, and you've heard them spin, right? Usually they'd say nothing, but Jesus didn't choose to spin. He was asked a direct question, what's the greatest commandment? And he immediately replied with this, love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, body, and strength. And love your neighbor as yourself. Those two things. Everything hangs on those two things. The great commandment. Number two is the great commission. It's found in Matthew 28, 16 through 20, and it says, then Jesus came to them and said, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you, and surely I am with you always to the very end of the age. This is called the Great Commission. So let's go back over this. You repeat back to me. Say, Great Commandment.
Great Commandment.
Great Commission.
Great Commission.
These two things are given to us by God, and they make up what I like to call GC squared. Great Commandment, Great Commission. Two G's, two C's. I put the periods in there. I put the little squared thing. I don't know if it's mathematically right. I think I'm supposed to have a parentheses around the G and C. There's mathematical people who really take this kind of stuff seriously. But just for our sake, just GC squared. Everybody say GC squared.
GC squared.
That's what it's all about. I have a good friend in Illinois who started the ministry called Sun Life. And he sold it. And then the company who bought it started going wayward, so he bought it back from them. And it was his company, Sun Life, that first phrased this GC squared mentality for ministry. And friends, I'm going to tell you, I do believe that that's what it's all about. That's what we need to be all about. Now, you can go buy a box, and the box can maybe help you with some ideas for pulling off GC squared. But the problem is, most churches, most ministries buy the box and try to do the box. We just don't buy the box here. We have the mission. We have God's great command. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, body, and strength, and love your neighbor as yourself. And we have his commission, which he was sending people out to do ministry. Did it work? Yes. We're still here today. Years and years and years later, he gave this commission. The people heard it, and they went and did what he said. And what did he say? Some people would say the answer is go. That's not the answer. Go is no duh. Everybody say no duh. Everybody makes a big deal about Jesus saying go, and it's not the imperative. You've got to do some English, so English people are going to be mad at me today too. The math people are going to be mad. English people, you can be mad at me too. The imperative is not go. The go is no duh. Jesus said, you can't stay here. You can't just sit around waiting for me to do something or say something, because I'm leaving. I'm going to the Father. So go. Then he tells them what they're supposed to be doing by going. We can go. If you guys want to go, we just go. We just run around. If you just want to run around and be busy all the time, that's one thing. You can buy a box and it might tell you how to go. God said go, but he said make disciples. That's the imperative in the passage. The instruction for we are to be commissioned to do. Commission is going, by the way, so it's a no duh. While we're going, we are to be making disciples. Making disciples who love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, body, and strength. Love the neighbor as himself. That is what we're to be doing. Now listen. What's the mission? Make disciples. It does not change. It stays the same for all churches everywhere, every year. As long as I'm here, you're probably not going to hear something different next year. What is Oakwood all about? We're all about the Great Commandment, Great Commission, GC squared. And hopefully you take comfort in that. I hope you can take comfort in Oakwood is solid in what we believe and what we're all about. And that doesn't change from year to year, from person to person, from ministry to ministry. It's who we are. And it's what we're to be doing. Now, the beautiful thing about that is it does not change. It stays the same. That's what an absolute truth is. An absolute truth is something that's true for all people at all locations at all times, and it never changes. There's not many absolute truths anymore left in our world. It's hard to define truth anymore. But this is an absolute truth that I'm teaching you this morning. It comes right from God's Word. GC squared ministry. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, body, and strength. Love your neighbor as yourself. And make disciples who make disciples who make disciples. That's what it's all about. So that's our mission. We at Oakwood then have taken that and put it into something pithy as we could. Podcar. Everybody say podcar. Our mission is to multiply Christ-like disciples. That's the Great Commission. Make disciples. But we want to multiply, not just add. We want to multiply. How do we do that? We want to multiply Christ-like disciples who are. So we put some flesh to the bone. And this is what we're praying, that we're helping you in your journey of being a disciple. A disciple who's passionate about their God. Everybody say passionate.
Passionate.
Be passionate about your God. I remember my illustration a few weeks ago when I talked about being at the hospital to see Jan Porter. And her son came in and he's going out west. Remember when I talked to you about how passionate I was about going out west? And those people that I knew that could tell you exactly what it is. And I was so passionate. And I left the hospital room with this blazing. It's like almost God said, man, sure like those people, don't you? And I'm like, oh my goodness, I was really passionate about these people. I was the disciple of those people. I was telling them that they should follow these people. That's what God says in His Word. We're to be passionate about our God so that we always want to share Him. We always want to make Him known. Passionate about their God. Obedient to God's Word. Everybody say obedient.
Obedient.
See, we're called to not just be fans of Jesus, but we're called to be followers. So you can be passionate. You can show up and say, rah, 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 but that's not enough. We also have to be obedient to God's Word. That means we're surrendering to what He says here. This is, in God's Word, this is what we follow. We don't read it and say, but I don't like that. No, we're obedient to God's Word. We're dependent on God through prayer. Everybody say dependent.
Dependent.
Americans are rugged individualists. We're not very good at this. But we need to be dependent on God through prayer. We need to be on our knees going to God and saying, God, without you, this whole thing doesn't work. I need you. I need you. We ought to sing that song more often, right? Lord, I need you. Oh, I need you. Every hour I need you. We need to be singing that daily. Lord, I need you. Are you dependent on God? Through prayer. Connected to one another. Everybody say connected.
Connected.
Again, this is an important thing. Oakwood, we are not independent operators. And it's so easy to do that. Some of you have the wrong concept about church. You think it's something you come to. No, it's something you're part of. Think of us today as vines. Right now you came in as individual fruits. Actually, let's use the Oakwood terminology. Individual nuts. Right? Each of you think you came in here as an individual acorn. And you got your own acorn life out there. That's not the analogy God gives us. In the church, we're family. We're the body of Christ. He is the vine, we are the branches, so we are connected to one another. Just take a second look up and down the road. Just go ahead. I know there's people there, and you're like, I don't want to make eye contact. Yeah. You're connected. Hey, friends, we need to be connected. If you are coming to Oakwood, attending Oakwood, but not connected at Oakwood, then something's not right. And I'm not blaming you. I'm not trying to put the finger at you. Maybe it's something we're not doing. But we want to help you. We want to help you because we know at Oakwood that a person who comes and attends but doesn't connect will last for 5 months. We just know that. The same people who sell boxes sell stats. And they tell you things. And those people have figured out that people that come will attend for about 5 months. And then they move on. And they go to another place and they wonder in 5 months, why didn't that work? Why didn't that work? If you're not connected, and I'm telling you, we're going to have to talk about this. If you're not connected in the body, something's not right. You were never intended to do this alone. You were never intended to do this alone. And that leads us to authentic, everybody say authentic.
Authentic.
And relevant, everybody say relevant.
Relevant.
In their witness. See, we're supposed to be real world people in a real world. So we've got to be authentic, which means we need to be real, genuine, but we also need to be relevant. So are you relevant in the people's lives that don't know Jesus? Do they know and respect you? Do they look at you as somebody that is living out something that they need? Are we being authentic and relevant in our witness? That's Podcar. Everybody say Podcar. That's our mission at Oakwood. So what have we accomplished? What are the things we can put a check by? Well, we can tell you that in 2025, 22 people were baptized. And maybe that doesn't sound like a lot to you, but I know that the church I grew up at, I don't know if I saw 22 baptized from 1 to 18 years old, right? And there wasn't a lot of that happening. And at Oakwood, that was probably an average year, if not lower year. God is moving and people are being moved and they're growing, they're taking next steps, and we're thankful for that. We saw 103 people in community groups. And that's good. It's not great. Again, you can have a church with community groups, or you can be a church of community groups. In order to be a church of community groups, we need a lot more people to be in groups. I'm going to have Pastor Ted talk to you about that in just a little bit. What else has accomplished? Well, we've got a parking lot. I don't know if you remember. A year ago, remember our parking lot looked like it was a military zone in Beirut. I mean, we had holes everywhere, right? And it was bad. And yeah, I've been here for 10 years, and I kept hearing people would say, Pastor Don, we'll never be able to do it. We're never going to be able to do it. We're never going to be able to do it. And I finally said, we're going to do it. And we moved forward. And it's not done yet. I've got to keep reminding you of that. Remember, they had to stop because of the cold weather, but they did pave it. Now they're going to come back, and they're going to top coat it. It's going to be all perfect come spring. What a great start. That's an accomplishment. It started. And everybody's favorite, the drop-off loop in the canopy. Yes. Yes. You get to come closer and drop people off. Yes. I'm excited about that. I know you're excited about that, especially when it rains. At least one of the two of you are. I like that. I love seeing the person gets dropped off like, I know this loop. And then the person comes in and had to park the car. They're like, Service park. We haven't really been able to celebrate that, but the PB&J Pavilion has been built. Amen. PB&J stands for Pastor Bob and Janella. It is standing. This spring, we need to put the one end on that is a covered storage unit, and I'm excited about that. We need more storage here, but it started. We had a trip to Malawi. We had a missions trip from Oakwood in a long time. The pastor, Pastor Ted and Jen and myself got to go to Malawi, and what a wonderful trip that was. And then we were able to bring on a youth ministry intern in September. Carter's been with us, and his time will end in February, at the end of February. I can't believe we're almost 4 months into 6 months internship already. So that's what's been happening in 1 year. And then I wanted to take some time to invite Ryan to the stage, if Ryan's here. Ryan is in charge of our safety ministry here at Oakwood. We thought it would be a great time. There's been a lot of things that happened recently. Grand Blanc, we're all aware of things that happened too close to us. being in Oxford, near Oxford, we're very aware already. And I thought this would be a great time at a family gathering for Ryan to come to show you the face of our safety ministry and have him share what's on his heart so that you would know about safety at Oakwood.
All right, thank you for that, PD. We live in a broken, fallen world, and that's why we have to have a safety ministry. So, got a lot of notes here, information that people just want to know about what we're doing to protect our members, so I'm going to stick with the script here. In light of recent local and regional events, I want to take a moment to share with you how Oakwood is structured and prepared when it comes to safety. Our safety ministry began roughly 10 years ago, started by members like Stan Walls, Rich Dion, and several others who had who shared a deep heart for protecting the flock. From those humble beginnings, the safety ministry has grown into a dedicated team of more than 25 servants. These men and women come from many different walks of life and bring with them a wide range of experiences. Yet they are united by one simple, vital purpose: to preserve peaceful worship and the well-being of every Oakwood member and guest. Our safety ministry is organized in three divisions. We have the general safety team, a medical division, and armed guards, who are also known as the guardian team. First, our general safety team. Some of their many responsibilities include ensuring our doors are secured, emergency equipment and lighting are functional. They observe behaviors and respond when something doesn't feel right. These servants are trained to act calmly, decisively, and according to established protocols to manage a wide range of unforeseen circumstances until the arrival of emergency services. Next, our medical team. This team is made up of highly trained nurses, firefighters, and paramedics, individuals with decades of real-world experience in high-intensity, life-threatening situations. Without hesitation, they step in to provide critical assistance for injuries, illnesses, and medical emergencies that may occur on our campus. Their presence is a blessing, saving crucial time when a life-threatening medical emergency occurs. Finally, our guardian team. In accordance with state law, selected individuals are granted permission by Oakwood's governing body, the Elder Board, to possess a firearm while on church premises. These guardians may or may not serve on the general safety or medical teams. They operate discreetly, intentionally, and strategically. That discretion is by design. It provides a tactical advantage and allows you to worship in peace without ever knowing they are present. In fact, that is their goal. Our guardians are positioned throughout the campus to protect and preserve life. They are acutely aware of the realities of this world and the growing threats faced by the Christian church. Their approach is continually evolving, adapting to attendance levels, event types, and current local and global threats. As the world changes, how they operate may change, but their commitment to preparedness does not. So all that being said, I want you to know that we do have a plan in place. And if a situation ever arises, we ask that you trust these safety servants to fulfill their duty and guide you well through any crisis. Looking ahead, training for our safety ministry is ongoing. This year, the safety team, along with other ministries, will participate in church-wide drills, CPR training, medical response scenarios, fire evacuation procedures, and response to acts of violence. We have also been blessed to secure instruction from a highly qualified active law enforcement officer who will challenge and sharpen safety and guardian team members, pushing their skills and readiness so they can better serve this church body. And in closing, please know this. Oakwood takes safety seriously, not out of fear, but out of love. Love for Christ Church, love for our Oakwood community, and a commitment to providing a place where worship can happen freely, confidently, and in peace. And if you feel called to be part of this ministry, please see me. Thank you.
check. Disagree.
No. It's just a me today.
It's your magnetic personality.
It's my magnetic personality.
All right, I'm going to have to go back to this. All right. We'll have to figure that out. So I noticed when Ryan was speaking, he's a little bit tall. Man, I noticed how short this table is. I will have you know I ordered a new preaching table. It was supposed to be here, but it didn't show up. Anybody used to that? So it's going to be this tall. So hopefully when you come back in next week, we'll have a brand new preaching table, a little bit higher for us to see. So good news, and I want you to know that we do take safety very seriously. And I am blessed as a pastor to know that we have a team that is really taking care of this. There's somebody watching the cameras, and I don't know how many cameras we have, but we have lots of cameras, and they're watching those all the time when you're here. And I love their heart is ministry. I think you heard that from Ryan. It's ministry. Part of that ministry is keeping you safe. And so we wanted you to know that we're doing what we can without becoming some militarized zone. We're doing what we can to be, what the Bible says is wise as serpents, but as harmless as doves. And that's a hard line to make, right? That's a hard road to walk. But I'm thankful for Ryan. He's great. He served for years as an EMT. After my heart situation, he came in and trained our staff how to use the defibrillator and to do CPR. And it scared them to death because he was no nonsense. He's like, you got to break his ribs. You got to crush his. And so they're all freaked out. So they're hoping I don't go down at work. So, but we're thankful to have people that know what they're doing and are gifted in that and they're doing a good job. So good news, folks. Current financial, just where we at is. So, okay, now it's on. Okay. You could tell when that happened, couldn't you? All right. So current financial. God continues to bless our great family through your generosity. Oakwood's finances are solid and secure. Sorry, that's what we have to do here. And that's a blessing that you have been a church that gives and gives faithfully. And let me just give you some important details of where we're at. This is something you've been wanting to know. I love sharing this one every year. Our Oakwood Cares offering. We take that offering one time a year, and we ask for, or our goal is set at $20,000 for each year that we have new money coming in, and we keep that funded. You gave this year $30,655. Oakwood Cares is in a very strong place, and that is not for us. That is so we can serve in our community, and we're doing that. I'm thankful. We watched the video that both Lance and Tim put out about what Oakwood Cares does. Thank you for being a caring church. Paving the road ahead. Our goal is to have $300,000 come in the offering, and we're doing that with the cars that are out there on the banner. Currently, we have $139,500 given toward that goal. That's nothing to sneeze at. That's a large amount. When you think about Oakwood Cares, and then this, and then our regular budget, that's a lot, and you guys have done a lot. So I don't want you to feel down about the fact that we have not hit the goal. We haven't hit the halfway mark of the goal. But I will say this as a pastor, sometimes you've got to buckle it down, and we're going into the new year, and that has to be our focus. So once again, I'm going to stand before you and tell you we're not going to be able to do a bunch of other fundraising for a bunch of other things. We need to focus in as a family and raise this amount so we can get this parking lot, this whole PB&J Pavilion and everything that we want to do with this finish. So let's continue to move ahead on that. And then I'm going to ask Jeff to come. This is where we get into flow charts and stuff, and that is not my giftedness. And so Jeff is currently our elder chairperson, and I'm going to have him talk briefly about the state of where we're at on our monthly budget and our monthly giving. Oh, no, this.
Good morning, church.
Good morning.
I'm Jeff. On behalf of the Elder Board, just giving a quick financial update. Don gave some of the very specialized things, the Oakwood Cares and the parking lot. The week-to-week giving, though, I was asked to report on, I just want to tell you as an elder in this church how grateful I am that we don't have to gather when we meet and figure out what we're going to cut because we're not making our budget. Thank you. Those of you who are giving to our church and giving faithfully, thank you. Whatever it is that you're giving, if you haven't started regularly giving to your church, the Holy Spirit, I can hear him. He's calling. I'll let you know that he is calling you. Not because we want to, we don't get any reward for going to heaven as, you know, part of the richest church. We want to make sure that we're financially stable so that we can do the work of the church. So those of you, we really appreciate and are blessed by your faithfulness and giving, and please continue that. You can see what the past 6 months' finances have looked like. We had the one down month in November, but what you see, if this doesn't make much sense to you, this is a month-by-month analysis of our current fiscal year. Our fiscal year is from the beginning of July through the year and then to the end of June. So the green bars are the monthly need that we have established, the total budget around $700,000, I believe, divided by 12, is about $60,000 per month that we need. That's an awful lot of money. So collectively, we're doing it, and it's very exciting. The yellow bars are the giving per month last year. And you can see that the first couple months of our fiscal year, we exceeded by a lot what we did last year. And we did great every month except for November. It's funny, too, because November had 5 Sundays. So whatever we did in November was a dip. But overall, church is doing very, very well. We're right there at our budget. In fact, if you will go to the next slide, we have a need of right about $60,000 per month. Our average is we're taking in about $61,000 per month. So until this point, let's see, if I'm going to try to do the math here, $720,000 or so would be our annual budget. So half of that is where we are right now. We need $363,000 to make sure that all the things are being done that we've planned on for the year, and we've brought in $370,000, so it's good. Oakwood is in a very good spot right now. Just one thing, one concern that I have I'll share with you was brought to my attention just this morning. I was teaching down in Sunshine Park. I've got third through fifth graders, and I told them, hey, I need to leave for a few minutes. I've got to go and give a update. I told them that I'm going to be talking about the finances, the money in the church, and one of our kids, Johanna, his mom, mama's downstairs, but Dad, where's Dad at? Johanna says, well, let them know that the heating is not being covered very well. It's really cold down here. It is cold. There he is. Your daughter gave us a really good update this morning, John, so thank you for that. Yeah, so deacons, finance people, make sure, and church, please continue to give, and maybe we can kick it up downstairs a little bit. It's really cold down here. Thank you all. We're very blessed to have two pastors on staff. We've got a youth intern that we are intern that we're compensating. That is very exciting that we don't have to worry about, hope that we can make enough next year to keep paying a youth pastor and that kind of thing. We're in a great spot, church. Thank you very much. If you haven't started giving, I really, really do encourage you. Talk to God for a few minutes and have him let you know, what can I give? Thanks, Katie.
Thank you. Appreciate our elders taking that portion of it, and I'm thankful that Oakwood is solid financially. That's a blessing. What's next? That's kind of the words we usually hear this time of year. It's like, what's next? And I want to play with you a little bit this morning, because whenever we use this term, what's next, you're probably thinking, well, what's the church going to do? And at this point, I've told you that who we are, what we're all about, and I've told you that that's not going to change. We're going to continue down that path. This what's next question shouldn't be from you to us. You're going to get a lot of the same thing. We want to develop and help you be disciples. We want to give you every opportunity to grow and to be what God has called you to be.
The what's next question I want you to ask this morning is not what's next for Oakwood, but what's next for you. I think too many times we show up at church and we think, what are they going to do next for me? What's the next big thing coming? Wonder what box they bought this year? Don't ask that question, but ask this question. What's next for me as a disciple of Christ? There's three categories that we're going to use. It's been kind of in our wording for a long time. It's on one of those stand-up thingies in the lobby. We've created a board that we haven't started utilizing yet, though, and there's three categories there. It's grow, connect, and serve. So this morning, I want you to be asking yourself, what's next for me in the area of growth? What's next for me in the area of connectivity? What's next in the area for me about serving? Identify where you are as a disciple. Pastor Ted and I have been chatting about this back and forth since last fall. We've been talking about what needs to happen next to help you guys in your journey of being a disciple. And I'm hammering home the point today is that you can't know where you need to go if you don't know where you're at. I think the first thing you need to stop and figure out is, where am I at on the map? I don't know about you. I know some people that are very bad at using their GPS. They just don't use it. And a lot of times they end up getting lost. Well, here's the thing. If you don't know where you're at, you can't get to where you're going. And so today I need you to be thinking, what's next for me spiritually, growth-wise? Where am I currently at spiritually as a disciple? So identify where you are as a disciple. Specify what you need as a next step. This is something you need to help us with. We can't come to you. We could. You would not take it well. If we came to you and said, hey, listen, we've been talking about you, and we think this is where you're at, you might say, how dare you? Honestly, we would probably put you higher than you really are. I think you would probably be more honest with yourself about where you are as a disciple of Christ. You need to identify it and specify, where do I need to go? If you know where you're at and you know where God wants you to be, you should know what steps are next. And so then we want you to be solid in your plan. Solidify your action plan. Identify, specify, solidify your action plan. How do I do that? Well, I want to ask you this morning to think about that word disciple. Everybody say disciple. It's a student and follower of Jesus. Where are you at in that process? I've got three words that I use to try to get us going this next year for you identifying and then specifying and then solidifying a plan. A disciple can be launched. If you're a new disciple, you could be in the launch phase where you're learning the basics, spiritual habits, and understanding beliefs. That's the launch phase. And then maybe you're already in that, you're like, I'm already a disciple. I've been following Christ for a little bit now. Well, you're in the live stage. The live stage is obedience, character growth, serving. Are you living the life of a disciple? Maybe you're launching and you need some of these basics. Well, let's make sure we identify that and get you help for that. Maybe you're in the live phase. Well, we need to identify that, specify what you need to be doing in that live phase. Obedience, character growth, serving. And there's a third stage called lead. Maybe you're at the stage where you need to be mentoring, responsible, multiplying disciples. You're at the leadership phase of being a disciple. I want you to do some self-evaluation. Instead of me telling you where you should be or where you're at, I need you to identify where you're at and realize what your next steps are. And we're going to offer you opportunities in these three areas this year: launching, living, and leading. So what's next? Connect. Before I get to that part, I'll have Pastor Ted come and share what his part is about this whole concept of growth.
So, this is something that I am super passionate about because people have invested in me in my life. I would not be here if I hadn't grown in the opportunities that the Lord had given me and people investing in me. But at some point in time, God worked in my life to say, what are you going to do with what I've given you and take the opportunity to take the next step spiritually, to walk ahead and say, all right, I want to grow. Even this year, I've been thinking about my own spiritual walk. I have not arrived. I'm still growing. And you are too. And God is going to work in your life all the way from the time of your salvation, even before preparing your heart and convicting you in your need of salvation, to the time that we are buried and in the ground. And so we have an opportunity. PD laid out today why discipleship is important. It's something that's been laid out from Scripture, from Matthew 28, that tells us to make disciples. And so people have invested in me, in my life. People have invested in PD. How did he get to where he was? It's because people were faithful in investing in him. And as PD mentioned, that a disciple is a dedicated follower and learner, a student of Jesus Christ. It's of Jesus Christ. That's what's important, is growing in who Jesus is. And he's mentioned these three different areas: launch, live, and lead. And I see even within these areas, there are three areas like your head, your heart, and your hands. And so even your head knowledge, to be able to grow in what you know about the Bible. Even this year, I'm personally taking the challenge again to read the Bible through from cover to cover. The last couple months, I finished reading the Bible through. So the last couple months, I've been reading through Colossians. I call it a saturation method, where I've been reading through Colossians over and over and over again, and highlighting and looking up words. And what is this talking about here? And just kind of saturating. How do you become knowledgeable in something? You study it and you spend time in it. And a book like Colossians is four chapters. I mean, you could read that over and over again for a month. And then you might decide, well, I'm going to focus on John now. So I'm going to take this in smaller segments. So you could take chapters 1-7 for a month and focus on that. And then maybe go back to Ephesians and kind of study that and kind of become an expert in that book. And then you might go back over to John and kind of think through, like, what am I going to do to grow spiritually? There is some responsibility that you have to take as a child of God. And the Bible says, as the deer pants for the water, so my soul longs after you. And as a believer in the Holy Spirit that lives inside of you, gives you a hunger to grow and saturate yourself in the Word of God. And as you're looking at the Word of God, oftentimes we look at it just from our perspective to say, what's in it for me? But as you're reading the Scriptures, you're looking at it as, where is Jesus? Where is God in the Scriptures? And as you see his character and who he is, then it reveals who you are. And then you begin to understand, oh, this is what God is and how he is. And so this is how me as a man, as I see myself there. And so we see our head growing in knowledge. We also see our heart, practical Christian living. Learning, you know, if lying is a struggle that you struggle with, learning to say, I'm going to begin to speak truth rather than lying, or even stealing. The Bible says in Ephesians 4, you start to give instead of steal. And so you begin to take those areas of weakness and sin in your life, and you do the exact opposite as you put off the old man and you put on the new person in Christ through the power of the Holy Spirit. And then we also see our hands, and that's developing and being trained to serve the body of Christ. PD's going to talk more about serving, and to be honest, I think there's a lot of opportunity for us as a church to step up and even serve more. There are some people here that should say, what can I do this year to help the body of Christ at Oakwood be a stronger and more developed church by me giving my gifts and abilities back to the Lord by serving the body of Christ here at Oakwood? So I want you to examine yourself today as you walk away today and say, what's next? What can I do this year to grow in my relationship with Jesus Christ through the Word, in your head, your heart, in your hands? One of the verses that I love about this, and as I was going through Colossians recently, it says, as you have therefore received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk in him, rooted and built up in him, and established in the faith as you have been taught, abounding in it with thanksgiving. Why do we need to do that? It says, beware, lest anyone cheat you through philosophy and empty deceit according to the tradition of men, according to the basic principles of the world, and not according to Christ. There's a lot of things out there that look like Christ, and they're not. How do you know? Because you have invested your life and your heart and your mind in knowing what's truth in the scriptures, and you study it. So, here is my last question. How do you and your family become a disciple and grow at Oakwood? One of the very first opportunities I want to challenge you with is be here on Sundays to learn and grow. Like, make that a priority. My family is going to be here. PD, he shares the word with us. He does it very creatively. You could go to other churches and it would be really boring. Just telling you, I've been to other churches. Come, because he's going to be creative and he's going to teach you the word. And so make that like your number one priority. I'm going to be at church as much as I can. Like, this is a priority for me and my family. And even Jeff, that he stood up here, did you know he's downstairs teaching your kids? I mean, if you know who Jeff is, I mean, he is a guy I would want my teaching my kids every Sunday the Word of God. He's a man of character. He knows the Word, and he's going to love and care for those kids. And we have many other children's workers here that work at Treehouse, that work at Sunshine Park, and they want to teach our kids. And even in our youth group and student ministry, it's so important to connect. We have equipping groups coming up. And I don't know if PD is going to share this, but these three areas that you just mentioned, at our equipping groups this coming March 11th, for 6 weeks, we're going to give you an opportunity to be a part of one of those two groups. A group that is a kind of a launch group, a group that is a live group, or we're going to offer a lead type group. And you have to kind of determine, where am I in my spiritual walk? Which class should I go to, and where can I take my next step spiritually? And so there's opportunities coming right around the corner, March 11th, equipping groups, Treehouse. Those last for 6 weeks. It's a very short commitment. Say, I'm going to make that a priority as much as I can. I know some of you have work and different things like that, so it doesn't work within that schedule, but if you're available and you can set aside your schedule to save the dates to say, there's nothing that's going to happen in my life during these times because I'm going to make this a priority. Second opportunity, and Petey's going to talk about this just in a minute, another way that you can become a disciple is to serve. Serve the Lord. He's going to show you our areas of ministry. There's over 20 here. Third opportunity is you can plug into a group. On Monday nights, we have Celebrate Recovery. On Monday mornings, we have a men's group that meet here in the morning at 10 o'clock. And Bill's back there saying thank you for mentioning it, because they meet, here on Monday mornings. He wants more guys, you know, to be here, be a part of that. We have a Tuesday group that meets for our men on Tuesdays at 6. We have ladies ministry Bible studies that meet Tuesday morning, Monday night opportunities. We have men's events, ladies events. We have Bible studies. We have our Oakwood Young Adults. We're getting ready to start going through the book of Ephesians. On the 16th, we're starting that with Bible study, 18:22. Carter's leading that. He would love to see that group grow and just become stronger. There's also various Bible studies. There's a Bible study that meets Sunday morning at 10:30. If that's something that you're looking for, you can see me about these things. The next thing is getting plugged into a community group. Right now, we have probably about, I don't remember exactly, 10 to 12 community groups, and we'd like to double that. Really, honestly, I don't know if it'll happen this year, but we've got to have good qualified leaders that are going to teach the word, and also people that are interested to be involved in a small group of 8 to 12 people, and it kind of breaks the body of Christ down to where you get to connect with people, pray with people, study the Bible together, and care for each other. So those are really some opportunities that you can plug into. Now, you didn't get any of that, because you were like, that's way too many details. But maybe you got a few of that. But honestly, if you have questions about any of those things, come talk to me, because I would love to get you plugged into one of those Bible studies or even a small group, or just kind of grow the ministry in you through these opportunities to plug in. And so you should be asking yourself, what's next? What do I need to do to continue to root myself in Jesus Christ? And I would love to help you.
Thank you, Pastor Ted. That's why I'm a... Next thing on the slide was, how do I get started? Contact Pastor Ted. That's why we have Pastor Ted. And so that would be your first step, is if you're realizing where you're at, have an idea of where you need to be moving toward, let Pastor Ted help you figure out where the best fit is there. He can point you to all these things. We also have a prayer group that meets on Tuesday night. Faithful every Tuesday. They're here praying in the building. So many opportunities for you. But here's what I want to say. I think for some reason we've got the church wrong. I'm trying to lose weight. We probably all are, like for the last couple of days, and we're all going to quit by January 9th, right? Amen? We know the routine, right? I think we think that the church just snaps a finger and fixes you. We don't. We don't. We can't. We don't have the ability to just do something for you spiritually. Let me tell you the honest truth, and it's the reality that I've had to wake up with about my diet, about exercise. I have to own that. I have a wife. She's helpful. She gives me things without salt in it. It's helpful. But when she goes to work, I know where the salt is. You know what I'm saying? Are you with me? Somebody say yes, Pete. What we're saying today is, what's next? Not what's next that Oakwood's got to do for me. What's next for me? I need to identify, specify, and then solidify a plan. So I'm going to encourage you to do that. Connection, there's other ways to be connected here at Oakwood. I just want to talk real quickly about the Echo Prayer app. We did not get a lot of response from this last year. We introduced it. A lot of people were like, I don't want another app. I don't want another app. I understand. But it is the way that we're trying to connect you in prayer. And if you want to be connected to the vine, the branches that kind of go all over Oakwood, you need to know what the prayer needs are. And so the Echo Prayer app is what we use currently at Oakwood. To have our prayer request known and shared, and for you to reply. Yes, you've got to download it. It's a prayer app. It's called the Echo Prayer app, and it helps you keep track of your prayers, follow the churches and ministries' prayer feeds, be reminded to pray throughout the day. You can join other feeds, by the way. Stand Strength Ministry has a prayer feed on this app, so you can join several feeds, but then you'll know what the prayer needs are. And so it helps you with you can set up your own personal prayer thing. I have that. Every day at 10 a.m., I get a reminder, goes off and tells me to pray for one of the items on my prayer list. So I'm reminded, okay, I need to be praying for this. So you can have your own prayers as well as those of Oakwood's. And again, different feeds. There's different ways to engage with Oakwood and other ministries. It gives you reminders. You can set those up. I know some of you don't like to be bothered and have dings going off all the time. Or the worst enemy of all time is that little red dot. Don't you hate the little red dot? I hate the red dots on my phone. I'm trying to get rid of all the red dots. But it'll give you reminders to pray. And I encourage you, you know, I understand if you're going to be stubborn, but that is how we're doing the prayer connectivity. And so I just ask you to download the prayer app and give it a try. Find our feed and be part of that. So what's next, sir? We're going to wrap it up with this and have communion today. Ministry positions. There are a lot of things. Pastor Ted mentioned it. From leader to helper, we will train and equip you for success. And then just briefly, we're not going to talk about each of these, but we have so many ministry opportunities. If you like working with children, we have that. If you only like working with adults, we have that. If you only like working with the same gender people, we have that. If you only like working, serving with your hands in the dirt, we've got that. We've got all sorts of ways, and you are bent towards something as far as serving goes. You know what you get fired up about. And so there are a lot of ways that you can serve at Oakwood.
A lot of these ministry teams have an asterisk by them, and what that means is there are some extra steps. Like Child Care, Sunshine Park, Treehouse, Student Ministries, you do have to fill out a background check. We take safety serious. We've covered that earlier. So you do have to fill out an application, and we do need to do a background check on you. And then there are other teams that don't necessarily just take people on them. You need to be invited to the group. And you'll notice the safety team is one of those. Now, if you're inclined to be a part of the safety team, you need to let Ryan know, the man who was up here earlier, and he can figure out if you're a good fit for that safety team. We take that very seriously. In other words, we vet those people. You need to fit. If you don't fit, we'll point you to another ministry where you might fit better. But there needs to be a higher requirement there. And then our deacon and elder teams, those are voted on. So we bring up nominations, and you vote on them as a church once a year for the people who sit on those two teams. But we encourage you to look at this list and determine, how am I serving? Am I gifted in the area of technology? There are lots of ways that we need your help in technology. Landscaping team, we've just done all this work, and the landscaping team is just plotting and planning. I'm nervous about what's going to happen, because they're going to redo all of our landscaping to fit what we've just done. If you love that kind of stuff, we've got a place for you. In other words, we will put you where you fit best and equip you for that. Talk to Pastor Ted or stop at the Oak. Big idea for today, if you're used to coming to Oakwood, we always have a big idea. Let's continue to be a great family. In order to do that, the question today is, what's next for you? Identify, specify, and then solidify. And let's move forward as a church.